joining us now from the NFL Network. Mike Garofolo is with us. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm great. I'm all educated after listening to Rappaport last segment.
He straightened you out, or he talked too much. Is that what you said? I mean, he was ripping your hair. He's making fun of your hair.
Did he
want to fight back? Well, he said his hair is so nice, he's making fun of your hair. Now, you want to take any shots back?
He's short.
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
Look at him. I wish you could see this right now. Let me describe it. He's like kind of lounged in there. He looks like a little kid, doesn't he?
And yeah, and that's like the fan VIP area. He's like taking over the fans.
Well,
couch
I ain't VIP it. Anymore.
No, he's sullied it. Anyway, Mike, so you're here at Browns training camp today. Obviously, the first game right around the corner.
Yeah.
Here, there's a lot of optimism, but here there's always a lot of optimism. it feels a little more based in reality if your reality is they could win 5 or 6 this year. What is your reality about the Browns?
Yeah, I think you're in that number there. They're better. They're as I watch their offseason unfold, clearly it's a long-term plan for John Dorsey and for this new staff of guys in the front office that he brought in. And you have to balance that with, okay, well, how are we going to be competitive? How are we going to make sure our guys don't get killed out there? We're not just going to sit there and say, okay, we're going to strip this thing down to the studs. So, you know, you go out and you make some additions and you have some signings. And certainly the Jarvis Landry signing was about them being competitive. They knew they were going to draft a quarterback, so let's surround them with a little bit here. Certainly the move for their left tackle to get Joel Batonio out there was, okay, this is the best way to protect whoever our quarterback is going to be on the backside. So I did find that part interesting. How do you balance what you're doing in the short term versus the long term? Because I don't know that – I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that anybody in that building really, truly, honestly, in their heart of hearts thinks that, okay, we're going to make a run at the playoffs this year.
Right.
But we'd like to show some positive momentum. Certainly the coaching staff would, because you're going to have to make, again, decisions about the future of this coaching staff after this season.
Yeah, it seems like the idea is, like, we just got to start winning some games and try to change the culture here in Hugh Jackson specifically. I don't know. We were chatting off the air. I don't know what the number is. If it's, you know, 4 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins, something kind of in that neck of the woods to sort of salvage his job. But who knows, man? Like, what if the team starts out 1-5 to start the season?
Yeah.
Like, will people start calling for his job then? Do they put Baker Mayfield? Like,
well, that's there. It is right there. That's the question. I mean, I've been around enough teams to know that. I'll take you back. I mean, the first team that I covered on a regular basis in this league, other than the Eagles when I was first starting out, but full-time basis was the Giants, and I started in 2004. And they started 5-2 with Kurt Warner as the quarterback. They lost their next two. They were in – may have been a playoff team that year.
Yeah.
But Tom Coughlin said, time to get Eli Manning in. He's ready to go. They put him in. They lose 6 straight. So they were 5-10 heading in the last week. But the beginning of that stretch to the end of that losing stretch was vastly different. He started to play much better. He went in before a Pittsburgh game. They were playing Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Roethlisberger was a rookie at the time. And he said, you know, let's strip this down to what I'm comfortable working with.
Yeah.
And played better that week. And all of a sudden, you got to those last 3 weeks, close loss, close win against the Cowboys. And 6-10 suddenly had a much better feeling than you'd expect from a team that started 5-2. And so you could have something like that here. You could have Tyrod Taylor come out and play well early on, a decent roster, win a couple of games. Maybe they're 500 leaving September. But then at some point you're going to have to make a decision. Because, look, Tyrod Taylor will make you competitive. He will make few mistakes. But he'll also drive you crazy as a coach because you say, hey, Tyrod, that's open in the NFL right there. Let it go. That was the problem in Buffalo. So at some point, you're going to have to make and Warner, I remember that year, now that I'm talking about this, was nearly identical. Didn't let the ball go at times. And they said, okay, well, if we're going to have a conservative play from our veteran, might as well put the rookie in there. Let him make some mistakes and let him grow. I see a – and listen, I was out in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. The way they ended the season, they're feeling great about 6-10, you know. So you could get something like that from here. I really – that's the way I'm looking at the season. I think the most important thing, and I hate saying this in August, how's December going to go for this team?
Right. You know, we've had Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey both on with us in the last week, and you know, I've said to them, hey, listen, I get what the plan is with Tyrod Taylor starting, but so many coaches have said that in the past. He's our guy, and then all of a sudden the rookie's starting, and it doesn't seem like they're going to go that way right away, but you're right. At some point during the season, you're going to have to make the decision because – you know, some fans want to talk themselves into the possibility of Tyrod Taylor being the long-term answer.
Yeah.
But the odds of that are like 1% or less. I mean, you don't draft a guy first overall and then sign Tyrod Taylor to an extension. No. So at some point, when you realize, hey, we're not a real playoff team most likely, we've got to decide, okay, when's it time to start the future?
Yeah, and I don't listen, Tyrod could play well enough. He gets another opportunity somewhere else, and then maybe some point down the line he establishes himself as a long-term starter somewhere. Alex Smith has done it. I'm not going to say that it can't be done.
Right.
But at this point, back to the spring when Hugh basically announced that he was the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Part of me said, well, let's check back in August.
Right.
And then the other part of me said, well, wait a minute. Tyrod Taylor's not the guy that's going to make a ton of mistakes to lose the job.
Sure.
So I said, you know what? I'll bet you this guy. Yeah. Once he said that, I said, okay, he's going to make his way into the season. What you want to guard against, especially having made the mistake recently, is, hey, DeShone Kizer looked really good in the preseason.
Sure.
My God, here's our let's throw him. He's ready now. Let's throw him right in there. Okay. So I think given those two factors there, I think it's safe to say Tyrod Taylor will be and I believe what Hugh Jackson continues to say, which he will be the starter week one.
Right.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will triple over himself, try and do more than he's used to doing, and Baker will light it up. And despite what happened with Kizer, they say, no, this is our guy. He's ready to go. We'll see.
On the other hand, you know, I get what you're saying because of what happened with Kizer, and that's been a mistake. On the other hand, you don't want to say, well, it didn't work with a young quarterback in the past.
Sure.
Let's not start him just for that reason.
Which is why I caught myself and said, I'm not going to completely close
sure,
the door.
Sure.
But if I'm stacking the odds,
yes.
I'm saying I see Tyrod as a starter
great.
Week one.
You look at this team, and we're talking about the wins and losses mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I'm like somewhat optimistic about it. Every year I go into this thing, and I'm like, what did I say last year? They're going to win six games?
I think you said six. I had three, and even I overestimated.
And I'm at like, I think I said seven.
You're at eight.
Did I say eight?
You went eight.
Eight.
I went
Am I crazy to think that they could win eight games?
Probably. Probably because – now, look, when you're looking at it, you're looking at that top line, okay? That's what everybody does this time
yeah.
of year. Whoa, top line looks pretty yeah. good. I can talk myself into this. All of a sudden –
we did the schedule game. We went through,
yeah.
through every game.
Right, but
and
when,
I
say, yeah. when I say the top line, I'm talking about the starters.
Okay? Yeah, 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 for sure.
It's just not how it goes. Yeah. It's really, honestly, truly about the strongest 53, but also the strongest 90 right now because guys yeah. are start, teams are starting
yeah.
to lose guys already.
Yeah.
And – when you come in and you start to strip this thing to the studs as much as possible, while also, again, making yourself competitive in the short term, you hear at time no GM who just takes over ever says, well, boy, we can see the depth down to the second and
yeah,
third team.
Right.
Because obviously if there was depth, he wouldn't have gotten this job. And that's what I sense here. They really do believe that they've got to get stronger on the second and third tier of this team over the next year to year and a half. As we get into next offseason. So I truly believe that there'll be injuries that will expose some holes
sure.
that I think eight. Now listen, if they're touched by God and they don't have any injuries, eight is on the upper echelon, I think,
yeah.
of what they could do, but I'm realistic having seen how this league goes.
Probably gonna need to have a Josh Gordon to do something like that.
Oh, no question.
Do you think we'll see him this year?
I do, but I really don't have a whole lot to base that on because it's a leap of faith in a lot of ways, and this team has at times lost that faith, and you thought it was done, and I believe even Hugh Jackson at one point said, we're moving on from Josh Gordon, and then things changed, and they realized, oh, wait, this guy's a pretty good talent. He's still got it, and maybe he's moving things in the right direction. I hope for Josh Gordon's sake he's getting the help that he needs and he gets on the right track that way. It doesn't bode well, right? I hate to say it that way, but it doesn't bode well right now for his immediate and his long-term future.
You think the Browns have taken a leap of faith here? Like, are they counting on him at all?
Not at this point.
Yeah.
And that's why the Dez Bryant thing was going to happen at some point, I thought. And then last week when I mentioned on the air, I said, there's interest, but a visit hasn't been set up yet. Well, usually if it doesn't happen mm-hmm. by then, for a guy yeah. who is – he's still – thinks in his mind that an NFC East team is going to call him. No, forget the number.
Oh, okay.
That an NFC East
he
team.
He wants to prove the Cowboys wrong.
He wants to stick it to the Cowboys.
Oh, he would love to.
Yeah,
yeah
right.
That's what I mean.
He would love to, and I think he's still holding on to that hope of, well, I'm going to get back in the NFC East, and I'm going to be able to see them twice a year and stick it to – I mean, it's
yeah.
August.
Right.
What are we doing?
Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. Mike, of the five rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round, who plays the most? Is it Darnold? I mean, obviously he's getting a lot of hype. Is it Rosen?
Yeah. I think Darnold's got a shot week one. I've sensed that and felt that and said that since they drafted him. You should hear the tone of that building has changed dramatically just with the addition of – I hadn't even taken a snap in a preseason game.
Yeah.
But as soon as they made that pick, all of a sudden, it's just a sense of – Yeah, I'm in Jersey, so I'm there from time to time, and just McCagnan almost had this weight kind of lifted off his shoulders. Now it's got to pan out for him, obviously, but they really do believe that they've got the right guy there. This team had a shot to take him here, didn't take him because I think in large part there were no guarantees for him coming out, given that as much as he turned the football over in college. Yeah. I think that was a big factor for these guys. Baker Mayfield did not turn the football over. The questions about his height and all those other things. Fine, listen. We're going to find out. I'm never one to sit there and go, what did this team just do in the draft? Give me a couple of years. I know that sucks. I mean, in our business, we got to have these immediate opinions. But if Sam Darnold's turnover problem translates to the NFL, can't have that at this level.
Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for
joining
us.
You got it, boys. I'm going to go hang with Ian now.
Where is he?
Is he
on the, not lounging anymore.
Is he on the Ferris wheel?
I don't know where he is.
Fixing his hair.
Mike Garafolo, NFL Network.